penalty kicks are among the most decisive and psychologically intense moments in the World Cup, where matches, careers, a country's hopes can hinge on a single shot. Research from Queensland University of Technology suggests younger players may outperform more experienced teammates under pressure, with fear of failure playing a critical role. In Nerves of Steel, Stress, Work Performance, and Elite Athletes, Professor Benno Torgler and Dr. David Savage studied the penalty shootouts from the 16 World and European Cups between 1976 and 2008, and the relationship between stress and performance in one of the most extreme pressure moments in professional sport. The research found middle-aged kickers, that's in football, would range about 23 to 28 years of age, were 13.7% less likely to be successful than younger takers. Professor Torgler spoke to SBS Portuguese about the psychological stress players face and the factors that can influence performance when taking a penalty kick. Dr. Torgler, welcome to SBS Portuguese.
Well, thank you very much, Cristiana. It's great to have you, to be with you.
First of all, I have a few questions prepared here, but why did you decide to research what goes through a player's mind when they are facing a penalty kick?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, we are extremely interested. Myself has been working in the area of sports economics for many years, and we're together with David Savage. We have also worked on things like stress, and football is such an important part of our culture as human beings, and those extreme athletes, those football players, they are faced with those kind of extreme stress situations. And naturally, then it makes sense to take a closer look at it because we can measure their performance really well. We can see, you know, how well the penalty shootout ends. We know exactly the conditions, how many people are attending the stadium, what's the situation of the game itself, and so forth. So we can actually control for other factors. It's almost impossible to do in a normal labor force. So if you look at stress and performance in the normal jobs, it's hard to identify all those stressors. Therefore, the football environment is extremely suitable for that.
Your research showed that penalty shootouts are not random, but shaped by psychology. What is happening mentally in that moment before a player takes a kick?
Yeah, probably a lot of things. Obviously, a core one is the pressure. So the pressure, the expectations, the uncertainty and the ambiguity. And then the question is how can player deal with it? And for us, I think a core insight that is really strongly psychological is what happens if you have this more negative stress or a positive stress? Like we call it positive stress is like you're in the penalty shootout. And if you put it in, then you win. And if you don't, then nothing is yet lost. You missed out a big opportunity, but it's still possible to win the game. And we call that positive stress. And your situation is that if you don't kick the ball in, then you actually lose the entire game. So there's no opportunity to come back. There's no recovery. So the costs of failure are much different. And this is kind of a negative stress situation. And we see huge differences, and we see a lot of asymmetry, meaning that if you're in a situation that, okay, you're missing, but you're still in the game, then you have actually higher probability in being successful, a higher probability of achieving a goal. And this is around 17%. On the other hand, if you're in a situation that you will lose the game if it doesn't go in, then the success rate decreases by 45%. So these are huge effects where we can identify this kind of indirectly, this kind of psychological stress that the players have. And we control for all those characteristics, you know, like experience, age, the quality of the team, the differences between the experience of the one who kicks and the goalkeeper. So we look at all those, control for all those factors, and this effect size is still there. So it's a very strong quantitative effect that we observe.
Your work suggests younger players can outperform more experienced teammates. Why can experience sometimes become a disadvantage in high-pressure moments?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I mean, it's particular. It's more driven by an age factor. So I mean, the results are less strong and less robust than the psychological ones. But it seems to be indicated that that somehow the older players are less able to handle this particular stress as well as the younger. However, there is some non-linearity. So it's it shows first that older, but if you look clearly, then you have a little bit of differences between the younger ones. So I'm talking about younger ones are the ones who are 22 and below, and those between 23 and 28. Those who are most strongly negatively affected by the stress are those between 23 and 28 compared to the younger cohort. Maybe because the younger ones are still, you know, they're beginning. Maybe naive is the wrong word, but they may be a little more kind of relaxed that they still have a future ahead. They are new into situation, and people may have less expectations if things go wrong. While those in the prime of their career, they feel the burden themselves. Probably intrinsically they feel it, and they want to perform well. That's it. That could psychologically explain that. But these are obviously interpretations. We haven't tested them directly. It would be nice, for example, to wire people up with neuroscientific tools, like, for example, heart variability measurements or other kind of physiological measurements, and then see what's going on in the brain and in the body itself. That will give us further indications. What's relevant for the trainers, they need to think more psychologically. So they need to put somebody in place who they think he's psychologically or she's psychologically robust to handle those kind of uncertainties and those kind of less expected stressors. And they should be not be concerned to throughout the penalty kicks also allow younger people to get experience. I think that's an important conclusion. And the question is that you can't train it, but only train it to a certain point. I think this is the issue. This is the finding. The psychological effect is so strong that I think sports itself and especially football needs to think much more about the psychology in those situations than technique.
Than technique and experience, seniority.
Exactly, and seniority and experience, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a really, really interesting. You're not safe through experience, because in fact, experience itself performs very, very poorly compared to also other factors like years of international experience or the quality of your club where you play or the quality of your team itself. That does not protect you. And even looking at the differences between you and the goalkeeper is also not as strong as other factors. But we see a little bit that, for example, a decrease in kickers' relative experience relative to the goalkeeper can even be a little bit of an advantage too. So it's actually allow people also with not much experience to perform in those environments is an interesting and sometimes a little bit counterintuitive. It's an interesting insight. And we looked at all those all those penalty kicks for a long period of times, so over 2 decades, over 16 events, so the FIFA World Cup and the UEFA Euro Cup. So we had 325 penalty kicks. So as you can collect more in general, but this is a nice data set in that sense. Again, what we need to understand more in football in general is how do people or humans cope in winner-take-all situations. So winner-take-all means that the ones who win gets everything, and the one who loses ends up with nothing. Well, nothing in that sense.
That's the cruelty of football. Cruelty. A second place, it's exactly. Not an option, or they don't exactly. even consider. And also, exactly. like, you can play well the entire game. If the other team kicks a goal, you're finished. They won. You can exactly. be superior for 90 minutes. Yeah.
Exactly. And they're forgotten afterwards in the history of successes. You know, that's the beauty, that's the drama, that's what we love and what we hate at the same time. You know, that's the passion, and that's the reason why football, as you know, people in Brazil, Portugal know, this is it's passion, you know? And the cost. Economists would call it cost. The cost side, the pressure cost are different. You know.
What are the costs? What do you mean?
The cost means economists would say that. The person who when he or she kicks and fails but has an advantage that it's not yet finished has lower costs of failure because they can still recover and win the win. So that's how economists would call it. It's like the psychological costs, or in general the cost of the action itself, you know, the implications of the action is lower. I haven't seen studies. I would need to check it. An interesting study would be to look at how do these players perform after they failed. In that sense, you know, like in their clubs or in other competitions. What happens if they're facing again a penalty later on? This would be a really cool additional study that one should actually do, and better understand how they cope with this kind of failures, major failures in that sense.
Yeah, that would be a lesson for all of us, you know. We could learn exactly. from them and try to recover exactly. from our own failures.
Exactly.
More research have come up since you published this paper. New research showing players are less likely to score after an opponent converts a penalty. And also the same research is showing teammates' results have less impact than the opponent's success. So why are players more affected by the opposition than their own team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that goes back into this idea of in-group, out-group. So in a sense that, and we are evolutionally trained to, you know, be in an in-group and then be strong within the in-group. But to, for example, fight against an out-group or survive against an out-group. And that goes back, you know, since hunter-gatherer periods. And there is this kind of a constant clash between where you feel more safe or more connected. Versus where you feel the competition or the enemy or so. And obviously, football is a competition. So therefore, you respond psychologically and emotionally much stronger to what an opponent does rather than what your own team does. You know? So the feedback, the signal that you receive from the opponent is therefore much stronger and affects you much stronger. So that's one important explanation for that.
But can we generalize that? Can we say, like, some players are more affected by how the opponent's team is going, some others are more focused on themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely right. What those two studies indicate are average effects, on average. That's what an empirical study does. But you're right. I think there's a lot of heterogeneity in individuals, and I think we need to explore the kind of heterogeneity much more and understand the mechanisms of that kind of heterogeneity. I think that's a really important, because like we did some studies around who do you compare yourself with, and how that affects, for example, envy or you know, whether or not you start playing better or worse. And I think that there, the somebody that you feel you compare yourself leads to higher feelings of envy among football players and basketball players than somebody is more distant to you.
And that affects performance.
That affects performance and also how well you cooperate with your teammates. Yeah. So there are these two theories, one is keep up with the Johnsons. Like, let's say, for example, my teammate has a better contract and gets more revenues outside through advertisement or so. Does that mean that I'm going to try to achieve the same thing? Or am I going to punish that person because you have envy feelings? And what we found out is the envy feeling is actually more dominant than keep up with the Johnsons. That you play worse and you also harm the team with that behavior.
How did you measure envy, these feelings?
Indirectly, that's a good point. It's indirectly, just by measuring the relative differences of your income, you know, relative to others. And there was just a theory. We have these two theories that would explain different kind of mechanisms. For example, like you look to achieve the same thing. That would mean that you actually would perform better. You want to achieve the same kind of success. And then if you are frustrated and you want to hurt someone, then you would actually perform worse or you would harm the team. And that's just indirectly. That's for us an indirect way of measuring feelings of envy. And those, it looks like the feeling of envy indirectly is a dominant factor. But it depends again with whom do you compare yourself. Like if there's a big distance, let's say for example, people compare themselves a lot with people who have the same position in the field. Like attackers compare themselves with attackers. But less, for example, defenders and attackers with each other. So there are different factors of closeness. But the closer you are, the more you have this kind of indirect envy feeling. And the further away you are, the less relevant it is.
It's fascinating. And just listening to you, it's like life imitates football. Football
Absolutely.
Imitates life.
Absolutely. And the beauty with football is like, We can actually observe things. It's almost like a mini world laboratory where we have, you know, people are playing at the same time, the same rules, the same weather conditions. Something that is very hard to get in the real world. But you can observe how they perform, how they, you know, interact with each other. So it's a beautiful environment to explore human nature in a more controlled environment.
The World Cup is here with more matches and potentially more knockout scenarios in 2026. Do you expect penalty shootouts to play an even bigger role in the tournament?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think probably the answer would be yes. And that's the beauty of this knockout period. So yes, more games, obviously, higher probability that we end up with a penalty shootout. Yeah,
you know, the use of VAR also is causing more penalty shootouts. Every game has a penalty kick nowadays.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Technology can influence, you know, how the game works, and obviously in terms of penalties, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And if you are advising a national team today, let's say if you're advising the soccer rules, what is the one psychological factor they should prioritize to gain an edge?
Yeah, I think really focus on characteristics that are not well discussed or not well seen based on simple statistics. Around how individual players can perform under extreme stress, where the stress itself is not predictable. Again, the situation that, am I in a situation whether my penalty kick will lead to the win, or will it lead to success? So the trainers need to really focus on this kind of psychological robustness of people who can handle uncertainty, ambiguity, and this extreme stress situation. Yeah. And they cannot rely fully on what we usually do as statistics like experience and other factors. They need to go much deeper into understanding the human nature of the player itself.
The goalkeeper, he would be psychologically and emotionally more trained to take these penalty shootouts. Yes, his training, it's totally different from the player and the other players.
It's a very good question. It's a little bit of a psychological effect that the goalkeeper actually needs to respond to the behavior of the player who shoots the penalty. So, in a sense, nobody ex ante really expects the goalkeeper to actually be successful. There's less pressure in that sense. If he is, even better, but there's less kind of, because the first, like in a chess game, the first move is actually the one who shoots. So that I feel there's less pressure from the goalkeeper. However, goalkeepers also make big mistakes. There's a nice study, I don't know whether you came across that one, is that actually goalkeepers move too much, in the sense that there's an action bias. Like there are a lot of kicks who go to the center, and if goalkeepers would move less, they would actually be more successful statistically. So, and they move too much to the left and the right because they need to show that they're doing something. But it would be better for them to move actually less and stay in the middle to be more successful on average.
Finally, the last question, what is your prediction for this World Cup? Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I think the smart thing for me is to say that I'm unable to predict the success who's going to win. So I leave that to many others who think they're in a better position to predict who's going to win in that sense. But what's always great is that the ball is round; everything can happen, and it's always going to be drama and fascination and joy and tears, and that's what makes football such a beautiful sport. Obviously, I grew up in Spain. I'm Swiss and I grew up in Spain, so Spain is always close to my heart in general. As a team, I have interactions with Germany. So a good friend of mine worked with the German national team, so I have a sympathy for Germany and also the style of football that they play. But from little on, always, obviously, in general, throughout every single World Cup, for me, a team that really is fascinating to many of us is Brazil in general, because Brazil, really, the way they play and the beauty, you know, beauty and art can be demonstrated so nicely, you know, with Brazil, with all those great players that Brazil brings in. So for me, you know, seeing Brazil in general, overall, for in the future, in all this following tournaments, I always have a very soft spot for Brazil in that sense.
They say the main culprits will get to the top, you know, France, Spain, Germany, maybe England by chance, just the usual.
Yeah. Well, England, top four, England obviously has been waiting for a long time. And sooner or later they will succeed. I mean, it's just a matter of time in that sense. But yeah, I mean, again, the ball is round. We will see. We will see. I mean, we have actually a project where we look at resilience. So we look at, for example, all the passes that people are doing, and then we look at what happens if the team is behind. We look at the network structure, who is going to play better, stronger, where are the passes going? So to understand creativity and resilience under this situation, as you explained, what happens if you're one behind, two behinds? We're quite excited about that study. it's a way for us to understand again resilience and creativity. I look at very detailed data on how players interact with each other.